When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I will take that Steph Curry energy all day, every day. Gentlemen, Stephen A. Smith, Kendrick Perkins, I'm Molly Karam. How we doing? Big time out there in Miami. You loving life?
What's up,
living
y'all?
Your best one? You good?
What's going on? What's going on? How y'all
doing? Got out of Cleveland real quick. I see that. How we doing, Perk? All right. We're gonna go right into it. I think Perk missed that there. Okay, guys, all the All-Star action, LeBron, Steph Curry, both making news. We'll get into that in a moment. But first, we begin in Michigan, the major story. Michigan coach Juwan Howard took a swipe at Wisconsin assistant Joe Krabenhoff's face in the postgame handshake line after arguing with Wisconsin coach Greg Gard, setting off a brawl involving coaches and players from both sides. Howard said he was angry over the timeout usage by Wisconsin, who called two in their last minute of their 77-63 win. The Big Ten said it will take swift and appropriate disciplinary action once it completes a review. Here's Juwan.
I didn't like the timeout being called, and I'll be totally honest with you. I thought it was not necessary at that moment, especially being in a large lead. And then for half a timeout, to be called with 3 seconds or 4 seconds to go. I thought that was, what I felt wasn't fair to our guys. And so that's what happened. Touching me unnecessary wasn't cause for that when we were talking. And at that point, I thought that was, time to protect myself.
He came up to me and pulled his max down and said, "I'll remember that." And he started pointing it at me and tapped me in the chest. And I said, "Hold on. Let me explain to you why I took the timeout." Maybe he doesn't know the rule that you get the 10 seconds reset. I wasn't going to put my players in that type of situation to have to break a press in 4 seconds.
All right. Here's a statement from University of Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel. "I'm aware and watch the end of our men's basketball game. There's no excuse for any of our staff or student athletes to get into a physical altercation with others, regardless of instigating factors. I reached out and apologized to Chris McIntosh, and President Mary Sue Pullman has reached out to UW Chancellor Rebecca Plank to apologize for the totally unacceptable behavior. We will review the situation more thoroughly and work with the Big Ten Conference as they determine their disciplinary actions, and will determine if further disciplinary actions are warranted." Okay, Mr. Smith, I'm going to start with you here. Should Juwan Howard be fired?
I'm not going to go that far. I've got too much respect for Juwan Howard and the man and the player and the coach that he has been. I got a lot of love for this brother, and it's going to be very difficult for me to go to that point. But I will say this. He should be suspended immediately. It should be for the rest of the season. I'm talking about the rest of the regular season, the conference tournament. If they were fortunate enough to get to the NCAAs, that too, he should not be allowed to coach another game this season. And if he ends up getting fired, if he ends up avoiding getting fired, he would be a very lucky individual, because I'm of the opinion it's entirely possible that Juwan Howard is going to be fired within the next 24 hours. I don't think we can rule that out. I'm not advocating for it. I would never wish that on this brother. He's a good man, and he's a good brother. But you cannot do what he did. You just can't. You can talk about, what do you mean protecting yourself from Greg Gard? Greg Gard shouldn't have touched him. I don't believe he should have called the timeout. You're up 14 points. It's a few seconds left. Come on, man. Work on what you got to do in practice in terms of your team handling the press and all of that stuff. Come on. Don't. Yeah, the rule is the rule, but you didn't have to afford it. There's a gentleman's understanding amongst coaches. There's certain things that you just don't do, and I think that he was wrong to do that, fair enough. And if people want to point to the fact that he grabbed Juwan Howard to try and talk to him when he knew that Juwan Howard didn't want to talk to him, and that warrants a game suspension or whatever, all right, so be it. But the biggest culprit here, unfortunately, is Juwan Howard. His actions were inexcusable. You swung at the assistant coach. You swung at him through people that were in front of y'all. I don't even know if that assistant coach touched you, but you certainly touched him. You threw a punch and you started damn near brawl, unless people want to call that a brawl. It was instigated by the head coach of a national program. How could you possibly excuse that when you're supposed to be a leader of men? How could you possibly excuse that when you're the one that's supposed to be setting the example? Juwan Howard failed miserably in that regard. And then to go into the post-game conference, show no contrition or remorse whatsoever, basically tried to defend your position as if to say, okay, because you didn't like the timeout and you felt it was classless on guard's part or what have you, and then he grabbed you, you put your hand in his face and you told him, don't touch you. He was trying to talk to you, but you told him, don't touch you. You didn't want to. Well, what does that have to do with you swinging and connecting on a slap or punch or whatever you want to call it with the assistant coach? And then the players that ultimately got into it after, in the aftermath of all of that, they did so because, again, once Juwan Howard swung that punch, Wisconsin reacted in predictable fashion. The players followed up and did, and you know, they were trying to protect their coach. And then all of a sudden, blows were thrown. In the end, it comes down to, if Juwan Howard doesn't throw the punch, none of this happens. You cannot be the head coach of a program and do something like that. He should not be allowed to coach for the rest of the season.
Well, Stephen A., listen, here's the thing, okay? I agree with you. He should get some type of penalty, okay? He should, in my opinion, Juwan Howard should get suspended, but he shouldn't get fired because Greg Gard played a huge role in this in being petty. He knew what he was doing calling that timeout. He know going in Wisconsin, that crowd was already rocking. It's a hostile environment. He knew what he was doing. And by the way, when they were in the handshake line, Juwan Howard actually was trying to walk past him, not even trying to talk to him. And when a grown man tells you, don't put your hands on me, hey, don't put your hands on him. That's what escalated the whole thing. By that time, he had already lost his cool. You can see right there at the end of the game. So, and then Greg Gard, he goes into the post-game interview, and he's still saying he's not showing no type of accountability as well when he knew what he was doing. He threw the line out there in the water. He had the shrimp on the hook. He set his reel. And he set his line in the water, and Juwan Howard took the bait. He took the bait. Look at it. This is instigating at his finest. He know that Juwan Howard was mad. Why even go over there trying to talk to the man? Leave him alone. Now, I'm not saying that Juwan Howard was right. He should never throw a punch. You're right, he is a leader of men. He has to lead by example. This guy, we're talking about a guy that had a hell of an NBA career, a Michigan legend, Fab Five, all that across the board. But both of these guys played a part in it, Stephen A. Let's not let Greg Gard off the hook. He played a huge role in instigating and being petty as well.
Well, okay, Kendrick Perkins, let's call him petty. Let's call him somewhat culpable. Let's suspend him to some degree as well for at least the game. We get all of that. I understand that. I'm not disagreeing with that. And I certainly hope that Juwan Howard does not get fired because I love the brother and I'm rooting for him and I want him to succeed at Michigan. But let's take this into account. You are a head coach. You've gone into parents' homes in an effort to convince them to let their kids come to play for your program. As a college coach, as a leader of young men, you're supposed to be showing them the way because by conducting yourself in appropriate fashion, that gives them guidance as to how they're supposed to act moving forward so they don't find themselves in situations similar to this one. You failed miserably in that regard. That's number one. Number two, Kendrick Perkins, and most importantly, you pointed out Gard and what he did wrong. What did the assistant coach do? We don't know. He might have said something. But the reality is that's who Juwan Howard hit. So the person that you, Kendrick Perkins, said, let's not let off the hook, that he's responsible to some degree for instigating this whole situation, he wasn't even the one that got hit. Juwan Howard swung on the assistant coach. What was the excuse for that? Because the assistant coach didn't hit you. The assistant coach didn't touch you. He wasn't the one who touched you or got in your face. You went over people to swing on him. And as a result, there were players that followed up And of course, the situation got a lot out of control. If you are a program, the Michigan Wolverines program, why do you think the athletic director chimed in immediately and called Wisconsin to apologize and had the president call their chancellor to apologize? Because in the end, they know there is no excuse. There is no justification for Juwan Howard doing what he did. That's the issue here, unfortunately. It truly is.
I understand all that, Stephen A., and I'm not disagreeing with you far as Juwan Howard and his actions. But I will say this. When we talk about setting the example, I agree with you. When you talk about walking into, you know, parents' homes and trying to get their kids to come to schools and things of that nature, I don't disagree with you at all. But let's not act like we didn't praise Bob Knight for choking people and throwing chairs and things to that nature. And how
people, a lot of people
were saying
did.
Bob Knight is a... No, but a lot of people did. And he got away with a lot. He got away with a lot. So let's not act like we haven't seen way worse from other coaches in the collegiate level that they didn't got away with certain things and just got off with a suspension. Here's my thing is, let's not overblow this situation because it's Juwan Howard. And I feel like right now we're taking it way over the top. Not you, Stephen A. You said a suspension. But I'm talking to the people out there that's talking about getting him fired. Because I just seen way worse. Way worse. But my whole thing is, what did that assistant coach say to Juwan Howard to make him swing a lick? I'm not saying it's right, but he said something. He said something. And again, I'm going back to guard. Let him walk, man.
All right.
When a man tell you, don't touch me, don't touch me.
Wait a minute. He told him don't touch him once he touched him. It's not like he said to him, don't touch me, and then the man went and touched him anyway. He touched him, and then he said, get your hands off me, don't touch me. That's number one. So it's before, not after. Number two, it doesn't matter what the assistant coach said. And Kendrick Perkins, you know, not to make light of it, because I'm not making light of it, of course not, but let's use you as an example. You are a player. You were physical. You didn't mind being an enforcer, all of this other stuff. I know of instances where you had to deal with some cats, but guess what? As a player, even you knew, let's go around the back in the tunnel. I'll see you there. You understand? You got into some confrontations, and it was in the hallway. Mm-hmm. It wasn't on a court where a damn melee could start. Number three, you did that as a player, not as a coach. Now, to buffer your point, you're absolutely right about Bobby Knight's behavior. Let's not forget the former coach at LSU, Dale Shaq, who Shaq loves very dearly. When he came out on a court and pushed a player because of how somebody had hacked Shaq, and then that ultimately started something as well. Yes, you are absolutely right. We've seen certain instances, but in reality, at the end of the day, when we talk about a coach, at the end of a game, you salty because you lost. You salty because this guy called an unnecessary timeout, which you thought was very mm-hmm. unsportsmanlike. You got plenty of time after the game to go and confront the man. You don't have to do it right there on the court where it causes that kind of ruckus.
I absolutely understand it's unacceptable. I'm from the camp of not judging people by their worst decision or their worst action, but I understand their standards as well. If he had shown, Juwan had shown a little more remorse or was a little more apologetic post-game, would you feel at all differently about the situation in terms of suspending him for the season?
No, I wouldn't feel differently about suspending him. The reality of the situation is your actions are what stand out most. I don't enjoy this. I love Juwan Howard. I want him to keep his job. I don't want him fired. I know that this incident is not emblematic of his character and who he is as a man, a player, a professional. The man played for years, started in Washington, played in Miami and various other players. This brother was, and you know what they said about him? He was class personified.
Yeah.
Juwan Howard was full of class. Yeah.
And this one moment, hold on, y'all.
But the point is, you can say what you want. I can say what I want. Kendrick can say what he wants. But the video ain't lying. And the reality is that as the head coach of a program, at midcourt, you swung on a coach and caused a melee. Yeah. The fact is, I'm hoping and I'm sitting there hoping and praying all he gets is suspended. that he gets to keep his job. Because I'm scared Michigan going to fire him. Mm-hmm. I'm scared for him. I think they might fire him.
And I have one more question for both of you. What type of punishment should guard receive, if any?
I already
he should receive. Yeah, he should receive a suspension. Look, he instigated that, Molly. He was petty. He was being petty at his finest. But here's the thing. This is what I want everybody to realize. It is so hard to control your emotions when you are in the heat of the battle, when you are in between those lines, and even when you finish the game in a hostile environment in a conference in a conference game. And people don't realize that, a lot of people don't realize that who never experienced being in the heat of the battle. Like, that's why I'm not a big fan of the shaking the line to shake hands, because guys are still hyped up. Guys are still fired up from a hostile game, or it could have been a close game. That's why I'm not a fan of that at all. Like, just go your separate ways. When I was playing in the NBA, the teams I was on, we never shook hands. That's why I don't understand that to this day. Like, we never shook hands. It should be your personal decision. Or you should be granted if you want to do it, but it shouldn't be an obligation to do it, now, to line up and shake hands.
We'll get into all of that a little bit later on in the show, Kendrick Perkins, but I will say this to you. You are completely 1,000% wrong about the coach. The player, yeah. The coach is different. I don't give a damn what kind of heated competition you're in. When you're in that position, there's a responsibility that comes with that position. What you said makes 1,000% sense about players who are on the court, breaking a sweat, banging bodies, doing what they do. But when you are the person that's in a leadership position like that, There's no way around it. That's why you're the coach.
I'm not arguing with you.
You can't absolve him from that.
I'm not arguing with you, Stephen A. All I'm saying is that I've seen way worse. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't get suspended. I'm just saying, let's not act like we haven't seen somebody choke, push a player, throw a chair. Like, we've seen way worse. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he shouldn't get punished. I'm just saying we've seen way worse from other coaches.
No, I was just addressing the point. I was just addressing your point about how you were talking about, because it's the heat of action, the heat of the moment. And I'm saying that can't be applicable to the head coach. To the players, yes. But no matter how heated it gets, when you're the coach, there's a different standard. There's a different standard. If it can't be a different standard for coach, we're all screwed.
Yes, of course. I think both of you are right. And Perk saying there's a double standard with coaches from the past, and Stephen A. saying unacceptable because you are a leader of young men. We're also talking about a college coach, not an NBA coach.
Well, Molly, you got to remember in the past that so many changes have taken place in our society. There are things that would never be tolerated now that was tolerated. And that's one of the things we've been talking about on First Take for years. The standards have changed society from a societal perspective. So the stuff that Coach Bobby Knight or anybody else got away with in the past, they wouldn't last 2 minutes today. Things have changed.
Yep, absolutely. A lot of other major news in basketball to get to. Let's keep it rolling. But we'll have much more on the Michigan story a little bit later. Don't worry. Sun star Chris Paul, unfortunately, going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. With a right thumb injury, he has a fracture, a source confirmed to Tim Von Temps. Paul, who was hurt last Wednesday versus the Rockets, came off the bench for Team LeBron in the All-Star game and played 2 minutes. Listen to this, guys. He's the first recipient of the Kobe and Gigi Bryant WNBA Advocacy Award, which recognizes significant contributions to the advancement of girls and women's basketball, along with advocacy for the WNBA. I wanted to make sure to mention that. Just major props to him and all the work he does in the community. Here's how Phoenix looks without him. The Suns have played 873 minutes this season without Paul on the floor. They outscore teams by just 4.2 points per 100 possessions with him off the court compared to 10.5 with him on the floor. That difference of 6.3 is the best mark on the team. Kirk, I'll start with you. How does the CP3 injury impact the West?
Well, I don't know how it's going to impact the West, because I feel like the Suns have such a good team, such a good culture, that they're still going to be a top five team in the Western Conference. Like, they didn't create so much space, Molly and Stephen A., that they're not just going to fall down into some play-in tournament. But I will say this. I believe Devin Booker is a superstar. Stephen A., you believe that Devin Booker is a superstar. Molly, you believe that Devin Booker is a superstar. Now it's time for Devin Booker to prove to us that he's a superstar, that he could be a superstar and win games without Chris Paul. Because no matter how we want to look at it, the fact of the matter is that Devin Booker has not showed us that he's capable of winning games without Chris Paul yet. And this is his time to show us that he's capable of being not only a superstar and getting buckets, but being the leader of this team and going out there and keeping the boat afloat and going out there and leading this team to victories.
I'm not sure I agree with you about that, Kendrick Perkins, and I'll explain to you why in a minute. Here's the first thing that jumped to my mind. First, let me get this out the way. Here's the first thing that jumped to my mind when I learned that Chris Paul was going to be out. I spoke to him this weekend, but it was before the news came down that he was out. He was going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. The first thing that came to my mind is Phoenix is losing the West. First thing that came to my mind, because I'm thinking 6 to 8 weeks out, even though he's got, knowing Chris Paul, he's going to still be with the team. He's going to still be running practices with Monty Williams, for crying out loud. He's going to still be in the guys' faces, in their ears. He's going to still be traveling with the team. He's going to be that natural-born leader that he is. He is a floor general extraordinaire. And when you consider the greatness of CP3, there's going to be a precipitous drop-off without him being on the court. So I look at Phoenix, and I expect Golden State to keep coming, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that CP3 ain't going to be ready for the playoffs, because he will be. And when he's ready, obviously that's going to make them exponentially better, and plus his legs are going to be rested because he would not have been playing, you know, using those legs for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So all of those things come into consideration. But since I picked the Warriors from Jump Street, this is even more of a reason not to jump off that wagon. Okay, that's one thing. That's one thing, all right? Plus, I expect Draymond Green back in about 3 weeks. I think Wiseman's going to be back around the same time as well. That's an additional big body for them. We'll see what happens. Let me address your point about Devin Booker. I would remind you that 3 years before Chris Paul ever arrived in Phoenix, Devin Booker was averaging 25 a game. The brother puts up buckets. You know this better than me, KP. There's a difference between scoring points and running the show and being that quintessential leader. You don't teach what Chris Paul has. Everybody don't have that. And basically what you're saying to me, KP, is that you're going to hold Devin Booker accountable for essentially not being CP3, because he's going to get his points. He's going to produce points-wise. But when you ask him to do the other stuff, KP, I ask you a sincere question, and I'll give it to you. How many people do you know has the kind of leadership ability that CP3 has?
But Stephen A., that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I'm not asking Devin Booker to be CP3. But I have seen Devin Booker come out of a game and have 30 points and 10 assists. I'm seeing if Devin Booker is ready to take that step, that next level of greatness. When you're able to get your 25 and get others around you shots and get them 10 to 12 points, like a Ja Morant, like a Luka Doncic, like a Trae Young, that's what I'm ready to see out of Devin Booker. And in actions of him doing that, let it result into wins. I'm ready to see that part of Devin Booker grow. Not Devin Booker just knowing as one of the most prolific scorers. I want to see Devin Booker elevate his game and say, I'm going to go get my 25 and 30, and I'm also going to get these other guys involved. You telling me Devin Booker don't have the capability of doing that? I'm not asking him to be CP3, but I'm asking him to rise to the occasion and show that he got a different level to elevate his game. Jason Tatum doing it right now in Boston.
Well, my response to that would be, players were already involved, and Monty Williams, like Devin Booker, didn't have the services of Monty Williams available to him as a coach along with that staff until a couple of years ago. So we get that part. But in the end, what it comes down to, if you tell me that Devin Booker is going to be the Devin Booker that before CP3 arrived, that he's going to put up buckets at a very decent, if not good, shooting percentage, his efficiency is going to be there, his point production is going to be there, then as far as I'm concerned, everything else is really, really about Monty Williams. Because my thing is that, listen, when I think about CP3 and the floor generalship that he brings, I just don't see people, and I know you're saying you're not asking Devin Booker to do that, but how do you replace CP3? How do you do that? All you can do is go out on the court and be the best that you can be, but that's not what who's going to get teammates involved like CP3 does? Who's going to do that?
I'm not saying, but Molly, I'm not saying CP3, but when we list all the young superstars, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, you know what they're doing now? They're making others around them better.
They're all point guards.
I'm want to say, Jason Tatum not a point guard?
Oh, no, not Jason Tatum, not Jason. I thought you said Ja Morant and Trae Young. And
we'll leave it there. We'll get into this later. The silver lining here, the Suns did go 4-0 without Chris Paul last season. Two of those were playoff games. But I want to get to the show last night, and in my opinion, that was Steph Curry. He was unbelievable. Keep booing him because he doesn't care. Scoring 50 from all over. He set the All-Star Game three-point record as Team LeBron won. Curry made a record 16 three-pointers before LeBron James made that turnaround jumper to give his squad the victory over Team Durant. Curry was named the game's MVP for the first time in his career and received the Kobe Bryant Trophy in front of the NBA 75 team.
I would say face and ambassador are two different things, and the way I approach it is it's a tremendous honor to know, like, if you say something, do something, it moves the needle because of the way that you play the game and the doors that are open and the impact that you have. And I want to respect that with everything that I do and understand that there's an amazing opportunity with that, an amazing responsibility with that. So I don't technically know how you would categorize it, but I know that it's not just how you put the ball in the basket, it's everything else that comes with that.
So much is given, much is tested. So what he was asked right there is if he's the face of the NBA, and obviously you just heard that response. So Stephen A., I'll start with you. Who is the face of the NBA?
I believe it's Steph Curry. But by default, almost, he's winning, and LeBron is not. That's really what this comes down to for me. Now, if you want to sort of modify it to some degree, LeBron James is a face because of what he does off the court. To me, I'm speaking specifically of on the court. Steph Curry is just his box office. You walk through the turnstiles to see the show that this brother puts on. And even though LeBron puts on his own show and deserves mad credit for that, the Lakers struggle. Steph Curry's winning. And I think that puts him in that place. And I think that when you consider the fact that he's 6'3", and you look at what he does, and you see kids going to the park, they know you can't be LeBron 6'9", 260 locomotive coming at you, extraordinary athleticism, strength, and everything else that comes with it. With Steph Curry, you look at him and you say, man, I get in the court, I can shoot jump shots, I can be that. And I think that has a lot to do with elevating his level of popularity, along with the fact that he's incredibly likable. He's class personified. He can shoot from the parking lot. He's the greatest shooter in the history of basketball. And his team is winning. So I think that at this particular juncture in time, that makes him more of a face. It's hard to say anybody's more of a face of the NBA than LeBron James, considering LeBron James' overall resume. But at this particular moment, to me, it's Steph Curry.
Boy, Stephen A., I don't know what's going on in Miami, but you know you lying and the truth ain't nowhere near you. Okay, you know LeBron James is the you know LeBron James is the face of the NBA. Now you go ahead and stop that. You know he's still the top at jersey sales. You know he still got the top in shoe sales. Like, look, here's the thing, man. When it comes down to iconic figures, I'm not taking anything away from Steph Curry, but LeBron James is just in a whole nother stratosphere, man. Like, when you talk about just generational, how guys gravitate towards him, just things to that nature, just him overall. And by the way, his performance is not lacking on the basketball court.
Not at
it's
all.
Just the others around him are not. It's just the Absolutely. Others around him not getting the job done. But I hate it because, man, Steph is so. I said it last night. I said, man, I tweeted out Stephen A. I said, I'm glad I'm here to appreciate Steph greatness. Because I want to go to another point real quick. I think LeBron James is the face of the NBA. You think Steph cool, I have no argument with you. That's our opinions on that one. But I will say this about Steph Curry. That trophy, that Kobe Bryant trophy, he earned that by in all means necessary. And I just want to talk about Steph Curry and his mental toughness. I think it was Friday night or Saturday night when he was up there giving a speech, I think him and his wife, and they were booing him in Cleveland, and he came back in the All-Star game and turned them damn boos into cheers. And that's an example. And I get it. It was the All-Star game, but at the end of the day, you could tell that man was on the mission. And that was a message to all other players out there who be out there worrying about people if they go boo them or whatever the case may be. Ben Simmons, listen. That man went out there and turned them boos into cheers and did it in great fashion and put on a damn show. And I love that he was the first person to get that Kobe Bryant award. It was a beautiful moment to see, beautiful moment to watch. But with that being said, LeBron James still the face of the NBA.
Well, listen, I understand where you're coming from, and I echo all the sentiments that you said in praising Steph Curry. And by the way, LeBron James deserves a lot of credit as well, because when you think about what Steph Curry said, just take a moment, y'all, to just pause for a second. See, it's moments like this where we have an obligation on First Take to really, really echo the sentiments when Steph Curry points out the level of work that he put in and what he does behind the scenes when the cameras ain't on to prepare himself to be able to perform like that. And when LeBron is gone, while we're going to miss him so much, just the same way we miss Kobe and Michael Jordan and others, it's not just because of their greatness. It's because of the work that they put in. I can't say enough about LeBron James to be 37 years of age in his 19th season, averaging 29 a game in constant shape, especially when he's surrounded by some dudes who don't look to be in nearly as good a shape as he is, which seems to be a bit damn inexcusable. But in the end, that's what it comes to. But the only reason that I disagree with Perk on this one, I'm talking strictly on the basketball court because of how Steph has elevated and Golden State is winning. I think what gives LeBron the edge, in all sincerity, is that you don't hear much about Steph when the season's over. You hear about LeBron year-round because LeBron doesn't just play basketball. He speaks on a lot of different issues, and he's involved in a lot of different things. And because of that, he's so incredibly conspicuous that he's a 24/7 headline. And that is what I think is the difference. When the season's over, Steph Curry, you know, we can't find him unless we look into the nearest golf course.
Yeah, I know we're up against it. I just want to say this quickly to both of you guys. I also feel like there's an age thing, because if someone asked me, I would say LeBron James, just like I would have said Tom Brady. But if you ask Stone or you ask like an 8 or 10-year-old, they're going to say Steph Curry or they're going to say Patrick Mahomes. So I think that plays a factor as well.
Molly. Molly, I was going to stop Molly. I want to applaud Molly this morning, KP. I want to give her a round of applause. For those of you out there, Molly up there, she got those allergies that be messing with her. I was gonna tell her I didn't want her talking too much today because the allergies was gonna get the better of her, but she sounds great. I'm very, very surprised at how great she sounds. She sounds very normal, KP. I just gotta give her love and credit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought the allergies was gonna have her sounding all nasaled up and everything, but Molly being a trooper this morning.
No,
you go,
you know,
girl.
You should give me a deal with Zyrtec and Nasonex because I doubled.
There we There we go. I'll talk to them about that. They'll probably come to me first because of my nose, the schnoz on my face. Goodness. They'll probably come to me first, but I'm just letting you know. I mean, it is possible that they might come your way. I'm just saying.
I love it. You guys are the best. We got a whole lot more to get into here on First Take.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The trade deadline came and went, and it's clear LeBron is not happy that the Lakers stood pat. Some would argue his recent comments are sending a message to LA brass. LeBron showed love to Rams GM Les Snead on Twitter after the Super Bowl for going all in, and now he's praising Thunder GM Sam Presti for making moves as well. Take a listen.
The MVP over there is Sam Presti. He the MVP. I mean, Josh Giddey is great. Sam Presti, I don't understand this guy's eye for talent. He drafted KD, Russ, Jeff Green, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, Josh Giddey, and the list goes on and on and on. This guy's pretty damn good.
So now on ESPN.com, our Brian Windhorst wrote that LeBron used All-Star Weekend to put the Lakers on notice. James has been offended by Lakers management twice over the past 2 weeks. First, when it elected not to make a deal before the February 10th trade deadline, after he had both publicly and privately prodded for something. More accurately, he expected it. In the second, when Lakers GM Rob Pelinka stepped over the line when he announced James was on board with the status quo. A source told ESPN there was no prior sign-off from James. What James is doing is likely aimed at one primary goal: force the Lakers into major action. This summer, he tried to do it nicely, and now he's doing it harshly. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Tell me this. What do LeBron's comments say to you?
Well, what it says to me is that I think that he's pointing the finger at Rob Pelinka, and that's fair, but he has to own some of it himself. LeBron is not innocent in any of this. But before I go any further, Kendrick Perkins, I wanted to make sure that you knew this. There was a story, I'm reading a story from Yahoo, but also I think it was something in the Bleacher Report. Rich Paul called me yesterday and asked me to quote him on this story about him and Clutch Sports and essentially them wanting the Lakers to trade Russell Westbrook and a first-round pick to Houston for John Wall. He wanted me to state emphatically that there was absolutely, positively no truth to that whatsoever. He never did that. He did not do that. The people who wrote the story never contacted him to get any kind of perspective from him on that. It is an absolute lie. And he said, could you please do me a favor and quote me and tell the world that I specifically said that's a damn lie. It's no truth. It never happened. You know, that's just for what it's worth. That's what Rich Paul says about these stories that have been put out there. Fair enough. So I quoted him. Now, LeBron James doesn't get off the hook here. He's playing like an MVP. It's a damn shame the people around him have not. They're the ninth seed, still in position, four games under 500 to be in the play-in. And by the way, let's take a moment, KP, to give Portland some love because they'd be in the play-in game if the season were to end today as well. Chauncey Billups somehow, some way, with this kid, Anfernee Simons, who's been balling. This brother going to be worth 25 to 30 million a year. This brother's special, okay? Portland is now in the play-in game. Let's give Chauncey Billups and his staff some love. But to talk about the Lakers, LeBron can't be absolved from this. You got a chance. You got an opportunity to get Buddy Hield. You went with Westbrook. You might have had an opportunity to get DeMar DeRozan. You went with Westbrook. LeBron James ain't innocent in that. You had something to do with the formulation of this roster. So we can point to Rob Pelinka all we want to, and it should be accurate to some degree because you are the GM. Magic Johnson is not Danny Longer. Rob Pelinka, we didn't forget you got something to do with that because Magic Johnson told us so, okay? And now it's on you, along with Linda and Kurt Rambis, and this is what's been going on in L.A., and so they can't be innocent. They can't be innocent, but I'm not going to sit here and put it all on their shoulders and act like LeBron James had nothing to do with it. You can talk about Sam Presti all you want to, and it's true because Sam Presti has an eye for talent, but it's also important to point out that Sam Presti has never won a championship as an executive, ever, not one time, with all that talent. So just like you giving him credit for accumulating all that talent, well, why the hell does Oklahoma City not have one single ring to show for it when you had all the players that he had? Maybe it's because of the coaches that you've chosen. That's another story for another day. But back to LeBron James, you got culpability, bro. I understand what you're saying. You might have a point about that. People talking about shots, not so direct or whatever, that you've given to Rob Pelinka. All I'm saying is don't forget the role you played in it. LeBron James is a basketball savant. But what he showed is why so many people are hesitant to give players control, because sometimes your personal relationships impairs your judgment. And as a result, you end up making the wrong decisions. You don't get to be absolved from that reality just because things are not the way you want them to be when you had everything to do with what made it that way.
You know what? It's a few things to unravel from what LeBron James said. And Stephen A., you know you're 100% right. LeBron James had a lot to do with getting Russell Westbrook, and so did Anthony Davis, okay? They called the shot. It was the reason why Russell Westbrook went to the front office of the Washington Wizards and got to the Lakers. Okay, but in their defense, they didn't know Russ was going to be this bad. They didn't know that he was going to be this bad. They really didn't, Stephen A. Just think about it. You're trading to get a top 75 greatest player of all time, a walking triple-double. You thinking he coming into his hometown, they didn't expect this type of play out of Russell Westbrook. That's to LeBron James' defense and Anthony Davis, okay? Now, to Rob Pelinka, it was moves out there that he could have made at the trade deadline, but he was holding on to that pick. He didn't want to include the pick. He didn't want to do this. That's where the frustration kicked in, along with him actually lying, saying that all of those guys were in agreement, were not making a move at the trade deadline, because that was absolutely false. Here's another thing I want to point out to LeBron James about his interview praising Sam Presti. I love Sam Presti. Sam Presti gave me my biggest contract while I was playing in the NBA. Sam Presti was great to me while I was in Oklahoma City. Stood by my side. Sam Presti do have an eye for talent. But Sam Presti also had a co-partner. It was a Robin that he had. That
Troy Weaver.
Like how LeBron James, Troy Weaver. And so when we talk about, this is the things that guys like LeBron James have to keep in mind when he go up to the podium and he speak on situations like this, because this is why you get those African-Americans hired in those positions, is when you go up there and you say, Sam Presti, he drafted this and he got an eye for this. That may be true. But Troy Weaver was right there on this side the whole entire time. Scouting those same players.
And he was the liaison with those relationships with the players, those players that were picked. Yes.
Start mentioning those brothers' names. That's the problem I have with that. Mention his name, man.
We're up against it. Got to get in a commercial break here. But